Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, the 9th of December, five people are dead and many more are missing after a volcano erupts in New Zealand. A Finnish minister is set to become the world's youngest prime minister, and Pope Francis meets a group of supporters and friends of the organisation A Chance in Life. In the Vatican, I'm Lydia O'Kane. At least five people were killed and many were missing on Monday after a volcano suddenly erupted off the coast of New Zealand's North Island. Police said more casualties were feared, with rescue services unable to reach White Island as it remained too dangerous after the eruption. About 50 people, New Zealanders as well as foreign tourists, were feared to have been nearby, and several were seen near the rim of the crater minutes before the eruption. Many day tours visit the island regularly, and one from the Ovation of the Seas cruise liner was there at the time. New Zealand's Deputy Police Commissioner gave more details.
It's still too early for police to confirm how many people are involved. We continue to work as quickly as we can through a number of channels of information to confirm exact numbers, including how many people are still on the island. Both New Zealanders and overseas tourists are believed to be involved. We believe a number of these tourists have come from the Ovation of the Seas cruise ship. We cannot confirm the nationalities of these people involved. Due to the current risk, emergency services are unable to access the island. And what I mean by that, we have taken advice from GeoNet, and they have assisted us with making a risk assessment that the island is unstable. There's possibilities of further eruptions, but actually the physical environment is unsafe for us to return to the island. It is important that we consider the health and safety of those that are going to rescue those on the island.
At least 43 people were killed in India's capital New Delhi on Sunday when a fire swept through a six-story factory where labourers were sleeping. The factory was operating in a congested residential area. No details were immediately available on the cause of the fire. The Russian flag and national anthem were banned on Monday from next year's Tokyo Olympics and other major sporting events for 4 years. Russia's hosting of world championships in Olympic sports also faced being stripped after the World Anti-Doping Agency Executive Committee approved a full slate of recommended sanctions as punishment for state authorities tampering with a Moscow laboratory database. Finland, a young nation of 102 years old and one of the first to give women the vote, has another first: the selection of the world's youngest prime minister, as Matthew French reports.
Sanna Marin, the current Minister for Transport and Communication, will become Finland's youngest ever Prime Minister at the age of 34. Finland's Parliament will vote on Social Democratic Party nomination of Ms. Marin as Prime Minister, and she will then become the youngest Prime Minister in the world, beating the current holder of the title by a year, the Ukrainian Prime Minister, who took office in May. Ms. Marin will become the youngest Prime Minister in Finnish history, as she is 2 years younger than the Centre Party's Esko Aho, who became Prime Minister in April 1991 at the age of 36. Ms. Marin's coalition partners in Finland's five-party government are all led by women, four of whom are under 35 years of age themselves. Sanna Marin has risen very quickly through political ranks since she became head of Tampere City Council at the age of 27, and she's currently into her second term as a Member of Parliament. She's already had some experience in the top job, as she led her party during the previous incumbent Antti Rinne's sick leave last year. She replaces Antti Rinne, who stepped down as Finnish Prime Minister last week after mishandling a dispute with the postal union that escalated into nationwide strikes that also saw the resignation of a minister responsible for state ownership. For Vatican News in Finland, this is Matthew French reporting.
A three-day festival of Catholic Youth of Australia kicked off on Sunday in Perth, challenging the young people to listen to the Holy Spirit and go out and rebuild God's church. Listen to what the Spirit is saying is the theme of the December 8th to 10th Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2019, promoted by the Office for Youth of the Australian Catholic Bishops' Conference. Robin Gomes reports.
The Australian Catholic Youth Festival, ACYF, is a national church event that aims to provide the young people with opportunities to deepen their relationship with Jesus, be empowered to be his disciples in the world today, and encounter and celebrate the vitality of the church in the country. Some 5,500 young people from across Australia gathered at the Perth Convention and Exhibition Centre for the opening of the fourth ACYF on Sunday that featured a welcome to country, high tempo music, inspirational speakers and moments of prayer. The host, Salesian Archbishop Timothy Costello of Perth, welcomed the young pilgrims along with their hopes and dreams, their doubts and fears, as well as their hesitations and enthusiasms. God is real. Christ is alive. The church of which you are a part is yearning to help you and to hear you, to teach you and to learn from you, to challenge you and to be challenged by you, the Archbishop said in his opening remarks, based on Christ's mandate to St. Francis of Assisi received 800 years ago. He combined God's exhortation to St. Francis, "Go and rebuild my church, which is falling into ruin," with Pope Francis' comments at the World Youth Day 2016 in Poland. Father Rob Galea, a priest of the Sandhurst Diocese and a renowned singer-songwriter, used the festival's opening session to invite delegates to be open to the voice of God in their lives. Sebastian Duhor and Holly Roberts, who have each represented young Australian Catholics at the Vatican, told their peers that they should take up Pope Francis' challenge to be the protagonists of change and the now of God. Day one of the Australian Catholic Youth Festival ended with a meditative form of prayer in the style of the Thésée Ecumenical Community of France, followed by a musical performance by Jen Bryant, the Melbourne-based singer and songwriter. I'm Robin Gomes.
Pope Francis takes time almost every day to meet with groups, foundations and organisations engaged in some sort of service that aims to benefit mankind. Last week he received members of a two-day forum of Catholic-inspired NGOs. During his address he told them, "The Church and the Pope need your work, your commitment and your witness at the frontiers of the international community," and he encouraged them to move forward with courage and ever-renewed hope. One of those present at the forum and at the papal audience was Jesuit Father Cedric Prakash, founder and director of Prashant, the Ahmedabad-based Jesuit Centre for Human Rights, Justice and Peace. He spoke to us about his feelings when meeting Pope Francis and about the special gift he brought to him from India.
I think my meeting with Pope Francis has been one of the great moments in my life, something very memorable, unforgettable. I was invited to be a participant here for this Catholic-inspired international NGO forum, which meets every 2 years. And this year, the focus was towards a more inclusive society. And it was a good forum. And at the end of it, we were invited to the Vatican to meet with the Pope. After his address, and he gave us a wonderful address, which was very inspiring, very meaningful in terms of today's context, today's reality, and what he expects us to be doing. He gave us two words, hope and courage. Then it came. I carried with me two things. One is a replica of the Tree of Life. It is from a mosque built in 1573. It is a stone trellis, a magnificent thing, and a stole which is embroidered with the Tree of Life. It is done by the women from our slums in Ahmedabad, and it is under the aegis of a training center for women called St. Mary's Mahila Shikshan Kendra. They do excellent embroidery work, train the women, and the women earn their livelihood. So I spoke to the sister in charge, Sister Sylvia, a few days. I said, "I might have the possibility of meeting the Pope, and I would like to give him a stole with the Tree of Life." She had it done. I went to the Pope and I showed him this, and it was amazing for me the way he reacted in it. So he said, "Stola, stola, magnific, elegante, elegante." And then he said, put, so I put it on him, you know, and everyone started clapping. And so for me, the way he responded to the stole, the way he looked at even the replica of the Tree of Life was something, for me, not merely heartwarming, but a moment which I will never forget all my life.
The Pope on Monday met a group of supporters and friends of the organisation A Chance in Life in the Vatican. The foundation runs what are known as boys and girls towns all over the world, as Sean Patrick Lovett reports.
The end of the Second World War in Italy left vast numbers of orphans and vulnerable children on the streets. An Irish priest, Monsignor John Patrick Carroll Abbing, had the visionary idea of creating a structure called Boys Town, which would provide them with necessary skills and teach them to be protagonists of their own lives. Now known as A Chance in Life, the organisation carries forward its founder's vision internationally, with boys and girls towns in Ethiopia, India, Bolivia, Colombia, Guatemala, and Peru. In Italy, among other initiatives, it accompanies young refugees who arrive as unaccompanied minors. Speaking to the group in the Vatican, Pope Francis recalled how these initiatives offer children and adolescents, in situations of particular hardship, a chance to surmount their difficulties and to realize fully God's plan for each of them. The Pope thanked those who support the organization and praised its long tradition of commitment to the service of disadvantaged young people in accordance with an educational methodology based on self-governance. In creative fidelity to its original charism, continued the Pope, the foundation is making an effort to be more incisive and effective in carrying out its mission in a world that presents ever new educational challenges. He said he was pleased to know these efforts are inspired by recommendations contained in his encyclical letter, Laudato Si, in the name of an integral ecology aimed at the development of each individual and the world around us. The Pope reaffirmed the importance of training new generations in the exercise of an active and participatory citizenship centered on the human person and care for the environment. He acknowledged that technological innovation is also needed to achieve these goals, but said if well motivated, young people will be able to attain them. He concluded, they've been born and raised in today's fast-paced technological world. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
And finally, pilgrims and tourists have until January the 12th to visit an exhibition in the Vatican of Christmas nativity scenes from all over Italy and countries around the world. Linda Bordoni has more.
The 2019 edition of 100 Presepi, Rome's international nativity crib exhibition, takes place once again on Via della Conciliazione, the street leading to St. Peter's Square and Basilica, after leaving behind its former location in Piazza del Popolo last year. Now in its 44th year, 100 Presepi was established in Rome in 1976. Today it is hosted by the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Promotion of the New Evangelization. It has become a firm fixture on Rome's Christmas calendar, and the popular initiative each year hosts some 150 nativity scenes from Italy and from more than 40 other countries. In addition to contemporary reproductions of traditional 18th century Neapolitan and Sicilian cribs and 19th century Roman mangers, there are modern versions made from wood, papier-mâché and terracotta, as well as from unconventional materials such as sand, rice and metal. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. Many thanks goes to Joe Moriello in the studio in the Vatican. Thank you for joining us.